actually would threaten the general fund by bleeding off the revenue we need to pay back those bonds. And you can't argue that money that the council's deciding to upgrade PGE Park into a sports facility could be used to fund some other project when that money wouldn't be available if Major League Soccer wasn't coming to Portland. So it's harmful to the public debate for those of us up here that know better to use arguments that play into people's worst fears. And I won't do it, and I won't sit and observe it happening if I know better. It's easy, I've learned, since being in elective office, starting in the Oregon Senate, through the House, and now here, to lose sight of the forest for the trees. I fall victim to it. Each of us falls victim to it. Because it's unpopular at times to know what you know sitting up here and know that the popular criticism is based on faulty assumptions. It's very difficult to go up against that phenomena as an elected official, knowing that your job depends on somebody voting for you the next time. And you have to go out and explain in agonizing detail over and over and over why the popular assumption is not right. And some of what we're hearing, not just from the public, but even up here, just isn't accurate. The truth of the matter is, Major League Soccer, particularly this deal for Major League Soccer, is an outstanding opportunity for Portland, period. Kansas City just signed a deal wherein they spent $150 million, give or take $10 million, for a sports stadium. They assumed that cost themselves. We have a deal here with Merit that is a fraction of that cost. And the part that Merit is responsible for to us in the form of rent, he has personally guaranteed. I know of no such deal that exists, not only in Major League Soccer, but professional baseball, football, wrestling, you name it. No deal exists like that. I don't mind calling out problems when problems exist, but I don't like creating problems where they don't exist. There is no problem with this deal other than the fortitude it takes for those of us to vote for it. I think that what we will experience here in Portland, or I wouldn't have agreed to begin this process 18 months ago, is best reflected in what happened up in Seattle last year when Major League Soccer started up there. Recently, a reporter asked me, what's in it for Merit? Why would Merit, if this deal is so good for the city, why would Merit agree to it? The answer is simple. Merit's going to make a lot of money. And Merit knows he's going to make a lot of money because soccer is going to be popular in Portland. And the reporter said, do you have a problem with that? I said, of course I don't have a problem with that. I used that against Merit in the entire negotiations to get the guarantees we have. Sam used that in the negotiations against Merit because we knew he knew he was going to make a lot of money in Portland because they don't call this Soccer City USA for nothing. It's a gold mine for anybody who brings a Major League Soccer team to Portland. And what we got out of that were guarantees that insulate us, and thank you, Sam, for insisting on this, from having the general fund put at risk. That was what I heard loud and clear. That was the marching orders that we had, and that's exactly what the deal now reflects. So I'm exceedingly proud of this deal. Does it have risks? Yes. Anything in life I have learned that is worth doing has risks. This is worth doing, and it has risks. And yes, there are circumstances under which it may not pan out, but I'm willing to take those risks for the benefit that it provides Portlanders and people in the region who want to enjoy this experience. And I'll go so far as to thank Merit for making this possible. Aye.
Adams.
Well, in a difficult economy like we are living in right now, this the opportunity to pledge spectator resources to a project that gets tens of millions of dollars in private investment is pretty remarkable. Appreciate the testimony of and the work of everyone up here on the dais, and I want to thank the staff and consultants and everyone, especially Skip and Amy in my office, who've worked very hard on this. I don't know of a, I'm sure they exist out there, but I don't know of a project that has been more publicly vetted, starting with a task force 18 months ago, all the way through, and a development agreement and an operating agreement that is as explicit as I've seen. Again, I'm sure that probably there's an operating agreement out there that has more details and more contingency planning in it, but they're pretty rare. So I just want to thank everyone, Merritt and your team as well, for your willingness to invest in Portland and in this project. Aye. Can you please call the vote for item number 175?
Do you want to take testimony first? This is a new item.
Oh, does anyone wish to testify on item 175?
We have one person who signed up, Pete Colt.
Hey, Pete.
Hi there.
Thank you all. Commissioner Fritz, thank you. Hope this boosts you a little bit. When I talk with my neighbors, even the ones who didn't vote for you, they applaud you. Your attention to detail, excuse me, and your willingness to commit to what goes on day to day here in Portland. So thank you from all of us. Thank you very much. Mayor Adams, I love you. Please, first a plastic cup and now Starbucks. Stumptown, World Cup. And I also want to thank Ken Puckett. He came to the NWDA board meeting last month. And as a result of that, I figured, you know, if soccer is going to come in and if they're willing to do all the things that Mr. Puckett said they would, which is to restrict the parking in my neighborhood in Northwest and to clean up after the games, as you know, I've been doing that for the last 3 years after every PGE Park game, I wanted to do something in return for the Timbers, and I also wanted to do something to help salvage the Portland Firemen's Memorial. So as I testified last week, here's something I want to give not only to Merritt Paulson and the Timbers, but to Major League Soccer. And that's this, that firefighters are consistently rated as the number one profession in the United States in terms of respect. There would be nothing more advantageous to the city of Portland and to MLS than to tie its star to a mutually beneficial arrangement with firefighters. On the 26th of June, when the memorial is held, I propose that Portland host an international soccer bowl, sort of like, you know, the National League versus the American League. It would be held here in Portland, Soccer City, USA. I think what we can do to build support for that is, with a boom camera, start at the Fireman's Memorial, pan down, zoom, move the boom, and then you hit the front entrance of PGE Park. And each time a soccer game is here at a home game, you have a voiceover describing the Fireman's Memorial, the purpose of it, and then a lead-in into MLS. On the 26th, we could have a big celebration, close off the streets, have a march. So many advantages to this. When MLS ties its stars to the firefighters, what are firefighters going to get in return for this relationship? Well, my proposal is this, that a percentage of the proceeds be used to research new firefighting equipment to help save lives. I also propose that maybe a fund be set up for the spouses and children of firefighters who are killed in the line of duty. So I'm seeing a sort of like a win-win situation here. And of course, MLS again would benefit because it would truly make MLS a really family-friendly, right-to-the-top institution in the country. So thanks a lot.
Thank you, Pete, for your testimony. Appreciate it. All right. Would you please call the vote on item resolution number 175?
Fritz.
Well, having lost the previous vote, which it was close since last spring, I want to acknowledge the leadership of the mayor and your gracious response. And the fact that you honor that reasonable people can disagree and that there is a purpose in airing some of our disagreements. So I appreciate that. Thank you. From now on these various items that will be coming to us on soccer, I will be voting on the merits of the particular proposal. And on this one, there doesn't seem any purpose to me to delaying construction, and I am pleased to vote aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
175 is approved. Can you please read the title for second reading of Chapter Code Amendments 178?
Amend zoning code to allow a limited amount of office use at PGE Park.
Please call the vote.
Fritz.
So on this one, I can't support the motion because I don't believe that the office use meets the intent of the open space or recreational goals of the city. No.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 178 is approved. And then can you please read item number 181?
Amend legal services agreement with Ball Janik LLP for outside counsel.
This was held over. Ken, would you like to, or David, speak to why this is necessary? It's related, obviously.
Mayor and Commissioners, David Logsdon, Office of Management Finance. Last week when this was filed, there was an error in the document. The ordinance had the correct dollar values. This amendment raises the total contract amount to $415,000. The addendum that was attached to the ordinance was in error, and it has been corrected, and what you have before you today is the accurate contract amendment.
And in keeping with Pete's comments, I think it was Commissioner Fritz that caught the error.
I believe it was.
Thank you.
So I have a question. Thank you for your attention to this. It's still dated August 25th, 2008.
I think that was the original date of the contract. And since that time, there have been two amendments. So that's when the contract was first entered into.
Thank you. That explains that. And so what was the previous amendment?
I think it was last summer. I can't remember the exact date, but it was an addition of $125,000 at that point.
Thank you.
Anyone wish to testify? This is a first reading. Anyone wish to testify on item number 181?
Yes, we have Peter Appenell.
Mr. Appenell, welcome back. Glad you're here.
My name is Peter Appenell. As an attorney and a member of the bar, Steve Janik is required to comply with the Oregon Rules of Professional Conduct. Rule 4.1 is titled Truthfulness in Statements to Others, and it reads as follows. In the course of representing a client, a lawyer shall not knowingly, A, make a false statement of material fact or law to a third person, or B, fail to disclose a material fact when disclosure is necessary to avoid assisting an illegal or fraudulent act by a client. Steve Janik has violated Rule 4.1 by failing to disclose the fraudulent nature of the PGE Park Major League Soccer deal, including fraudulent acts by members of the City Council and others who have deliberately concealed critical information from the public. In fact, Janik knows that Major League Soccer's venue design guide clearly indicates that PGE Park will never be able to meet minimum MLS requirements for restrooms, food concession stands, and seating. Janik knows that this guide is dated September 1st, 2008, which means that MLS officials have known all along that this deal is fraudulent. Janik knows that this guide was never made public during any of the public hearings at which this proposed deal was discussed, and that this was obviously done in order to hide the information contained in the guide. And if you need any more evidence of fraud, you can read today's Willamette Week, in which Mayor Adams flat out lies about what's contained in the guide. Unfortunately, the reporter didn't quote the copy of the guide that I gave to her, which clearly states that these are requirements, not recommendations. So I invite Steve Janik to make good on his professional responsibilities and tell the truth. And the truth is that this deal has been fraudulent from its inception and now threatens to wreck the city's bond rating and finances for years to come. And Mayor Adams, we had a little conversation out in the lobby a couple hours ago, And if you think you have some information other than what's in this guide, then I suggest you call the Oregonian, have somebody scrutinize your information and compare it to what I have in writing from MLS. It's in black and white English, not in Klingon.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Get up. Thank you.
Although it's not in Klingon, Mr. Janik, it is, they are legal documents, and although not in Klingon, I rely on the learned counsel of not only on contract, but this has been discussed with the city's own legal counsel as well. So could you please sort of review the analysis that the various lawyers associated with this project have made regarding this issue and the advice that you've given me and others, other decision makers?
I'd be happy to do so, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Mr. Aplinel has raised concerns about such issues as the number of restrooms, the width of seats, aisle widths, square footage of concession stands, etc. He has raised those concerns in a series of emails on which he has copied me sometimes, perhaps always. He's copied the city council members sometimes, I'm not sure if always. Each time I received one of those, it was forwarded to our project team. He seems to take the view that his interpretation of those MLS guidelines is correct. The city's team has reviewed that and disagreed. In terms of my role, measuring seat widths from plans, counting numbers of restrooms, and other things like concession areas, those are not legal issues. Those are for an architect to decide. Nonetheless, the fundamental issue is, will this stadium comply with the requirements of Major League Soccer? And the ultimate determiner of that is Major League Soccer. So there are two things that I would like to bring to your attention. In order to be absolutely certain of the compliance of these plans with the Major League Soccer requirements, we asked Major League Soccer throughout this process to review the plans as they have evolved. In January, we were at the point of 50% design development documents, which is one detailed step along the way toward final construction drawings. I have for the council a letter from Mr. Mark Abbott, who is the president of Major League Soccer, dated January 19, 2010, addressed to Mayor Adams, in which he says, "I hereby confirm on behalf of Major League Soccer that we have reviewed and approved the PG Park renovations and plans, specifically the schematic drawings and 50% design development documents. Provided that the renovations are completed in accordance with the approved plans, PGE Park has been approved as the home stadium of Major League Soccer's Portland Timbers Club. Thank you for your support of this project. We look forward to opening game in 2011. In addition to that, because the plans evolve in detail over time between schematics, design development, and construction documents, we have inserted a provision in the redevelopment agreement that the council has approved, which makes it a condition of closing before the city is obligated to perform, that there is yet another check-in with Major League Soccer on not the 50% design development documents, but the 100% design development documents. If you go to the redevelopment agreement and go to section 21.2.12 on page 103, this is a condition of closing. Quote, "MLS shall have confirmed in writing to the city that it has reviewed and approved the 100% schematic drawings, the 50% design development documents, and the 100% design development documents, and that, provided the improvements are constructed in accordance with those documents, the stadium is approved as the home team of the Portland Timbers." So consequently, Major League Soccer disagrees with Mr. Aplinel. If there is any deviation from the 50% plans that they've approved to the 100% plans that raises an issue, Major League Soccer has to review that and has to confirm at the time of closing that they are the plans are acceptable for Major League Soccer.
And I just want to say one of the benefits of having as open a process with as much input as we have had on this process, and that's why when we get emails such as yours, Mr. Aplinel, we discuss them and analyze them and take them very seriously. your lawyer, our lawyers, MLS disagrees with you. I'm going with the analysis that has been done by our team of folks. But I appreciate, as I said last time you testified, raising the issue very much.
And I concur with that. I also want to thank you, Mr. Janik, for your diligent work on this.
Oh, thank you, Commissioner.
And I will be supporting this ordinance. Thank you.
You and Dina as well. All right. This moves to a second reading unless there are objections. So done. Can you please read the title for second reading, item number 176.
Approve private for hire transportation board of review members and alternates.
It's actually a report. Do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second. Do I hear a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Are there any clarifying questions for our wonderful staff? Would you like
Kathleen
to introduce
Butler,
yourself?
Regulatory division manager.
Okay. I just wanted to take extra time to look into the demographic profile of this group, and I know that this is a group that's nominated by industry category, so I appreciate you working with me on that.
Yeah, the reason that they're all coming up at the same time is because with the co-changes that were made, the board moved from 9 to 14 members. The ones you're approving today actually represent the bureau and agency folks from Port of Portland, PBOT, TriMet, and also the public representative, the persons with disabilities representative, and the tourism representative. All of those are being reappointed, and the new code actually also provides for them to have alternates. So the alternates that we've been able to identify are being approved as well.
So of the 14, how many are women?
Excuse me?
Of the 14 members of the expanded board, how many of them are women?
How many of them are men?
Women.
Women?
I don't see very many on this particular list. I think that was what the mayor was referencing.
Yes, there is. In the industry representatives, there are 7 industry representatives, and 3 of those are women. In the ones that we're talking about today, the non-industry reps, there is one woman who is an actual member and also another woman who is an alternate. Part of the difficulty is that those folks are put forward to be on the board by their agencies, and I think it's usually the person whose job is the most related to the work that the board is doing. So whoever's in that position gets put forward.
Thank you for your work. Anyone wish to testify on 176? Carlo, would you please call the vote?
Fritz?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 176 report is approved.
Thank you.
You bet. Can you, first reading, can you please read the title for first reading ordinance 177?
Accept donation of solar-powered compacting trash cans from the Lloyd District Transportation Management Association.
These are the big bellies, and they started out with donations from City Center Parking and then the Portland Business Alliance, and now the Lloyd District Transportation Management Association is getting a donation from that group of folks. It's great. It's wonderful. And legally, we just have to accept it. Any discussion on this item? Anyone wish to testify on item number 177? Thank you all. It moves to a second reading. Can you please read the title for second reading, agenda item number 179, code amendment?
Amend Portland Zoning Code and South Waterfront Design Guidelines to improve process to implement the South Waterfront Greenway Development Plan and to update and correct several zoning provisions applicable to the South Waterfront Subdistrict.
Please call the vote.
Fritz.
So as I noted last time, I'm directing the Office of Healthy Working Rivers to work with the other city bureaus and come back in 3 months to define who does what. And I noted last time what exactly that will entail. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Thank you. The great team that we have in planning sustainability. Aye. It's done. Yeah. I know there's not many people left. It was a lot of work. Yeah. Can you please read the item for emergency ordinance number 180?
Authorize an agreement with Portland Streetcar, Inc. for vehicle engineering services related to streetcar vehicles being procured from Oregon Iron Works for the Portland Streetcar Loop project.
And the rails have gone down in front of the Metro building?
Yes, they have.
I was out in the rain and taking pictures of it inappropriately.
The rails are the easy piece.
Oh, are they?
It's all of the underground work that's just been a real challenge.
I had people tweet and say, "Get the hell out of heck out of the road," to me. So what do we got here?
Okay. First of all, for the record, I'm Vicki Deedy with the Bureau of Transportation, and I'm the city's project manager for Portland Streetcar. What we have in front of us today is an authorization for an agreement with Portland Streetcar Inc. for vehicle engineering services for the streetcar vehicles that we're going to purchase for the Loop project. And these services will be provided by LTK Engineering. excuse me. While the vehicles themselves are funded by bonds issued by the state, backed by state lottery funds, this work is a part of the federal project and the Federal Transit Administration funds. So consequently, the procurement process on this followed the federal rules and regulations, uses the TriMet's disadvantaged business enterprise minority participation plan and was issued as a qualification-based selection process. LTK was the sole respondent, and their response was reviewed by myself as a project manager, by Thomas Heilig from TriMet, who is their vehicle expert, and by Andre Bois as a minority consultant. And it was a unanimous opinion that LTK was responsive and highly qualified. And as with other contracts related to the Portland Streetcar Loop project, we have assigned the oversight responsibility to Portland Streetcar Inc. After requiring them to subcontract with LTK as our selected consultant and to assume all of the terms and conditions of the procurement, including the federal requirements. Just three quick things I wanted to point out. The compensation in the contract totals $1 million, and that is this is an anticipated item, and that money is included in the overall budget, capital finance budget, that was adopted by the council in October of 2009. The disadvantaged business enterprise percentage is 3.9%. And I would ask council to recognize and understand that this is highly specialized work called for in the agreement. And I did check with TriMet, and this is participation is very much in line with the kind of participation that they have received on other work that they've done with LTK. The confidence level is listed on this as being low, primarily because there is a recognition on all the parties that there may be additional services that would be required if the city approves a request by Oregon Iron Works to supply a substitute electrical propulsion system. Oregon Iron Works currently has a contract with the city, and it includes the propulsion system from Škoda. And they have made a request of us through the terms and conditions of the contract to do a substitute propulsion system. And if that should happen, there would be a different level of effort that would be required by LTK regarding design reviews and approvals, technical oversight, and testing and commissioning. So if that comes about, and that decision should be made with pretty quickly, we would indeed bring an amendment back to council for their approval at that point in time.
So let me just see if I can distill it down, Vicki, and I appreciate you covering all the territory.
Mm-hmm.
The prototype streetcar had a European propulsion system
mm-hmm.
/ engine. Oregon Iron Works would like to develop with Rockwell a U.S.-made propulsion system. So more of the, and that would be made in the Midwest as opposed to Europe.
Yes.
It's obviously a new, or going back to an old line of work, a new line of work for Rockwell. And we need an expert partner on our side to help us negotiate that change. And then if we choose to proceed with it, to provide the oversight necessary that we actually get the propulsion system that works and that we want.
Yes, with one minor caveat. The LTK is providing us with expertise right now on making the decision under a contract that they have regarding the prototype car.
Got it.
Okay. And then the criteria that will, of course, be really important to us will be reliability and safety. So those are the kinds of things that we have to work through.
And the tension here, just make sure this is all aired out, is the European propulsion system is obviously a tried and true propulsion system. A new U.S.-made propulsion system would be not tried,
right,
not necessarily true until it actually gets done and the bugs worked out.
Exactly.
We would like this car to be as U.S.-made as possible from parts all over the United States, but we also have to get a car that works at some point.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So that's the horns of the dilemma, as it were. And then I do need an amendment to the ordinance.
Okay.
Okay.
Any questions from City Council? All right. Can
everybody's got the.
I move the motion to move the amendment.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to consider the amendment that we provided to you ahead of time, and it does what, Vicki, for the record?
What it does is, for the record, is on the now therefore the council direction section of the contract, it deletes paragraph C.
And the substantive effect of deleting paragraph C?
Is that the city project manager will not be authorized to negotiate and execute any amendments to the contract that do not increase compensation.
Any discussion on this amendment? Carla, can you please call the vote on the amendment?
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Anyone wish?
Point of clarification, that the project manager would be authorized to negotiate amendments, but the amendments would have to be brought back to the council for authorization.
Actually, it would, for no cost, it would go to the purchasing agent.
Purchasing agent. Right.
Oh, yeah, I could still negotiate.
Change orders without cost impact can be approved by the purchasing agent. Cost impact changes come to us.
Come back to you.
Great. Thank you for the clarification. Is there anyone that wishes to testify on the underlying emergency ordinance item number 180? Carla, can you please call the roll?
Thank you.
Fritz.
Well, this is implementing previous decisions of council, and I thank the Portland Streetcar Board, chaired by Michael Powell, for the ongoing efforts on behalf of the streetcar project, led, of course, by Mayor Adams. Also thank the citizen advisory committees and Amanda Mansfield in my office. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 180 is approved. Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance 182?
Authorize Lentz Town Center Urban Renewal and Redevelopment Bonds.
Eric Johansson has joined us. Is there anything outside of the ordinary?
No, this is simply the authorization for the first ever long-term bonds for the Lentz Urban Renewal Area, probably the first in a series of urban renewal authorizations we'll be bringing over the next year or so for various districts.
Questions from council?
It's in concurrence with previously decided policy. It's just buying the bonds.
Yes.
Thank you.
Anyone wish to testify on non-emergency ordinance 182? Moves to a second reading next week. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 183?
Accept an award in the amount of $2,500 from the Department of Human Services Regional Offices on Women's Health for activities and events in support of National Women's Health Week, May 2010.
Commissioner Fritz.
As you heard at the work session yesterday, Mayor Adams assigned citywide employee wellness to me, and we initially considered applying for these federal funds to support a project to encourage female employees to participate in wellness activities. But in thinking about how to spend taxpayers' money most wisely to promote the maximum public good for the federal dollars, we decided instead to propose activities that will help women living outside in Portland. I know from collaborating with Commissioner Fish that the city's work in providing housing for people with limited incomes cannot stand alone. Supportive services are also needed. For women living outside, basic survival is a more immediate need than thinking about preventative health care or healthy eating habits. Yet these women are most in need of information and services preventing as well as treating health problems and unplanned pregnancies. Prevention is much less expensive as well as being better for the women involved. Here to tell you about our project for National Women's Health Week is Sarah Hussein from my office.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. It's my pleasure to be here today to ask you to accept an award from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health in the amount of $2,500 for support of community health education activities during the 11th Annual National Women's Health Week. Our project, entitled Healthy Habits for Healthy Women, is only one of eight projects funded in Oregon, Washington, Alaska, and Idaho. National Women's Health Week, which will take place this year between May 9th and May 15th, is a week-long health observance coordinated by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health. It is a national effort by government organizations to raise awareness about manageable steps women can take to improve their health while emphasizing the importance of incorporating preventive and positive health behaviors into everyday life. This award will fund a project providing an unusual showcase to highlight National Women's Health Week. The money will provide healthcare classes in the community to low-income women who might not otherwise hear the information. The women will learn how to access healthcare services available at no cost and how to spend food stamps on healthy foods. By taking a proactive role in the promotion of healthcare, Commissioner Fritz and our community partners will extend the principles of wellness to Portland women most in need. We are partnering with homeless shelter providers, reproductive health educators, OHSU, and the Oregon Food Bank to provide necessary health care education and personal hygiene supplies to women living in emergency shelters and outside. Through advertisement of the project in street routes and other community outreach mechanisms, many Portland women will realize that women's health is considered important by both elected leaders and women experiencing homelessness. We will hold two types of workshops. One set will be on women's health education for women living outside, and one will be on nutrition education for women in transitional housing. The women's health education workshops will be held at two community shelter programs and one outside gathering, while the nutrition education workshop will be held at a shelter assisting women with transitional housing. The healthcare classes will provide information on access to birth control, cervical cancer screenings, and free women's health exams. For the healthy eating class, the Oregon Food Bank will provide a hands-on nutrition education course to teach women on tight budgets, cooking methods, nutrition, food safety, practical shopping, and meal planning. Our partners hosting the workshops are Rosehaven Women's Day Program, Dinner and a Movie Youth Program, the Salvation Army Female Emergency Shelter, also known as SAFES, and the Home PDX Church Gathering. The nutrition education workshop will be held at SAFES, which assists women, low-income women in finding transitional housing. All of these organizations provide services to women with minimal incomes and are trusted by their clients and their friends. It is our hope that these workshops will inform women living outside and in shelters about the community health care services that are available to them, which will in turn increase each woman's overall health and well-being. I request your acceptance of this award. Thank you.
Discussion from council?
Outstanding presentation. Is this among the first presentations you've made to us?
Yes.
Well, you did a great job.
Wonderful job.
Thank you.
Very good job. Anyone that wishes to testify on emergency ordinance item number 183? Carly, can you please call the vote?
Fritz.
This is not only the first presentation that Sarah has made, it's also the first grant that she applied for, wrote and applied for, so she's not 100% batting on this, and I'm going to encourage you to keep going. Aye.
Fish?
Well, thank you for your work on this, Amanda. And on Thanksgiving, my daughter and I served lunch at the Salvation Army Women's Emergency Shelter, and it was an eye-opening experience for my daughter. And this outreach effort and the goals that you've outlined are wonderful additions to our safety net programs. I'm pleased to vote aye.
Leonard.
This is an excellent use of the money, Commissioner Fritz. And, Sarah, you did do a very good job. Aye.
Adams.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for your leadership. Sarah, thank you very much for your great work. Aye. 183 is approved. Can you please read the title and call the vote for second reading, item number 184.
Authorize the name Playhaven Park for the property formerly known as Terrace Trails Park. Fritz?
I thank the Wilcox family for coming in last week and Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Saltzman for the naming process and its implementation. Aye.
Fish.
I have to say that was one of the most affirming presentations we've had in a long time, and I want to join with Amanda in thanking Glenn and Joan Wilcox for being the instigator for this name change and for joining us and testifying, and also Doug Brenner, who's my East Zone manager, for spearheading this effort. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
My thanks to Commissioner Fish for his leadership in bringing the partners together and making this happen. And to his team at Parks, and also to the Wilcoxes for their partnership. Aye. Can you please read the title and call the vote for second reading, item number 185.
Designate and assign to the Portland Water Bureau property for the Fulton Pump Station and easement for the Washington County supply line and use of vacated rights of way over property currently assigned to the Bureau of Parks and Recreation. Fritz?
Well, I again commend Commissioner Leonard and Commissioner Fish and all of your staffs for your work on this project. Very, very impressive. Aye.
Fish?
Well, the last time Commissioner Leonard proposed a land swap, we got so fleeced over at Parks when we gave him the McCall's building for a Superfund site in Mount Tabor that I sent my A-team to do this negotiation. And I want to acknowledge Celine Nunn and Todd Lofgren for driving a harder bargain than we did in that negotiation. And this makes a lot of sense. A lot of hard work has gone into it. It's taken some time, but the reason it's taken some time is that there's been extensive community process, and there's been really a model of engaging the folks around Willamette Park in both the siting and the rationale for this, and then the value that we will receive in exchange for the easement. Thank you, Randy, and David Schaff, for your great work on this. I want to clarify something I said last time that caused apparently a little heartburn on the internet. It is my intention to begin a conversation about taking, in this instance and in the future, a portion of these kinds of unanticipated revenues to parks and consider a policy where a small percentage comes off the top and is put into an equity fund, which is then used to advance goals we have in parks throughout the city, particularly in underserved areas. There is no current proposal. We are not proposing to take any portion of this money now or in the future without a full conversation. But we think that with the extraordinary needs that are in underserved parts of the city, when we get this kind of unanticipated revenue source, or excuse me, unanticipated funds, that it is incumbent on us to think about how we might share that in an equitable fashion citywide. And so it is simply my intention to begin that conversation, but no decisions have been made. I want to thank Elizabeth Kennedy Wong and our team, and also, again, David and his team. Thank you, Randy. I think we now have a more level playing field in these land exchanges, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
That was wonderful. I'm teary-eyed. Aye. 185 is approved. We are in recess till 2 p.m.
I'm teary-eyed as well.
That was the best left-handed compliment ever. Ready?
We got the McCloud.
Thank you.
Oh, how much? Is that what we were hoping for?
We have a 2, no, 6. We have a 2 o'clock, though. Yeah.
Doing good. How are you doing?
Yeah.